right. Good afternoon. This is the first Election Watcher Advisory Panel meeting. And I want to thank all the panel members for agreeing to participate and welcome you all in attendance and listening over our live broadcast. The essential agenda of this meeting is going to be to kind of go around and introduce ourselves. We have a number of people here and some people on the phone. And then we're also going to talk about upcoming topics and try to put together a scope of the work that we're going to do here and hopefully a sort of draft agenda. So I will start out, and I'm Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert, and I'll be acting as the chairperson of the panel. We are planning to operate this hopefully as a consensus model for conducting the meeting. So for anybody who maybe participated in our 1303 commission or kept track of that, we tried to find areas where we had agreement. And in areas that were of importance to the committee where we didn't have agreement, we would take a vote and note those in the report back to the legislature. In this case, since it's an advisory panel to the secretary, we'll essentially do the same thing, which is have discussions, see if there are areas where we can reach consensus, and then move forward on those, and then note areas where we do not have consensus and list the reasons that we don't have any consensus. The advisory panel meetings will be open to the public and broadcast over the internet on the Secretary of State's website. Seated also are staff resources to this commission. Our Steve Ward, who is seated over here, who runs essentially all of our boards and commissions here at the Secretary of State's office. Ben Schlaer is our primary legal contact. Vanessa, who's dressed right there, you probably got your meeting notices from Vanessa. Sorry, I'm having a total. Melissa. And Melissa, who's also doing legal backup for the panel. And they've been really helpful. I think you all have the rules and the statutes that have been provided to you, a letter from the secretary. And they have put all those together for you, so hopefully the panel has everything they need going forward. And they've also spent quite a bit of time working on our agenda and the technicalities of how we're going to operate these meetings. And the purpose of this panel is going to be to discuss ideas and processes in an effort to establish an election watcher framework that's compatible with Colorado's current election scheme. The ultimate goal is to propose best practices, election rules, and statutory changes to the secretary. We believe the interaction between election officials and election watchers is relationship-based, and in past elections, we have seen some of these relationships deteriorate. So we've invited panel members with a diverse viewpoint and backgrounds to participate in the meetings, and our objective in composing the panel was to maintain balance and encourage cooperation among those with varying viewpoints. These meetings are subject to the Open Meetings Act. Any discussion regarding official business outside these public meetings between any two members is a violation of the Act. Ben is going to describe for you a little bit about how we're going to maybe operate technically, because we have some people on the phone, we have some people here, and we want to make sure that everybody's able to fully participate and interact. So, Ben, why don't you go ahead?
Hi, everyone. Ben Schlaer with the Elections Division here at the Secretary's Office. Just real quick, so we know things are working, could we get whoever's on the phone just to let us know that you're there?
This is Lisa Syriax. I'm in.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Ben. It's Tiffany Parker.
Hi, Tiffany. Anyone else? Okay, thanks.
My name is Michael Stapleton.
Oh. Hi, Michael. Okay, so, thanks to everyone for actually the large group that did show up in person today, at least for this first meeting. I know there's a lot of stuff going on at the legislature, and Amber's running an election right now, and we've got things going on, but thanks for showing up. We know that, if we're going to try to get in several of these meetings over the next few months, that folks are not going to always be able to make it here, so we're going to try to make it as easy as we can for you all to call in and participate, because the next few scheduled sessions are going to be fairly long because we'll actually be trying to get into the meat of these things. We're very likely going to have more handouts and possibly even, you know, more interactive things that we'll be putting up on the screens. We have a screen here and a screen behind Elena there. But if you're not here, obviously you won't be able to see those, but we will be providing, aside from just calling in on conference call, a go-to meeting so that you'll be able to participate. The other thing that we'll do is make sure that we get materials out to everybody as soon as we can before the meeting starts, so everybody has a chance to look at it before these meetings get going. That's pretty much all I really wanted to address. Thanks.
And again, I think we all bring our own perspectives, and I know everyone at this table has had a lot of experience in running elections and the watcher community, so we really just thank everybody for participating in what we hope is going to be a really productive group where hopefully we can iron out some of these issues ahead of our next election and certainly ahead of our 2016 so that we don't find ourselves in the position where we're trying to address things sort of in the heat of the moment. So we very much appreciate everybody's viewpoint that we're bringing here today. So by way of introduction, again, I'm Suzanne Steyard. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State. I was appointed about 3 years ago by Secretary Gessler and then reappointed by Secretary Williams in January. I have been sort of in the middle of a lot of election watcher controversy. I do the rulemaking for the Secretary of State's office, so certainly I have had a lot of public input from that side of it too, and then a lot of sort of on-the-ground experiences visiting counties with various members of our election staff trying to facilitate these discussions and hopefully come to some resolutions at the counties. So that's sort of my background and experience. And then if we want to kind of, just by way of sort of introduction, we've divided this committee into eight election administrators, I'll call them, at the county, municipal, and district, special district level, and then eight watchers who are divided by the Democratic Republican Party, and then some unaffiliated watchers who I don't know whether they're actually unaffiliated, but unaffiliated groups that they represent who are more issue watchers. So just to put that out there, there are 16 members plus myself on the panel. So Jeff, you want to start?
I'm Jeff Wilson. I'm the general counsel for the Municipal League. I've been at the league since 1987. We're heavily involved with all matters relating to elections because we're one of the levels of government in Colorado that actually conducts elections. So I'm very interested in this, and I've been involved in a lot of stuff in this area over the years.
I'm Karen Goldman. I'm city clerk for the city of Aurora. I've been running elections since 1986. I am currently the legislative chair of this Colorado Municipal Clerks Legislative Committee. And I also teach elections to municipal clerks around the state.
I don't think you're on. There you go.
Pushed. There we go. Ellen Hilliard. I'm a business person, but I'm also the Boulder County Republican chairperson. I've also run for office for House District 11.
My name's Mickey Wadhams, and I'm a paralegal with Collins, Cockrell, and Cole. And we represent municipalities and special districts statewide, probably about 300 at least. And I've been with them since 1988, so I've been conducting elections since that time.
I'm Harvey Branscombe. I am a volunteer citizen advocate. I have been I'm an ex-Democrat, ex-Canvas board member since the 1990s in Eagle County, Colorado. And I have been extensively watching in the most recent 2014 election. I was a watcher in approximately 14 counties on behalf of the Green Party and the Libertarian Party.
I'm Jim Candelari. I'm the city and county clerk for the city and county of Broomfield. I've been involved in elections for over 25 years. And certified through the Secretary of State's office, and CIRA certified through the Election Center in Auburn University. I started off elections in Adams County for 9 years. Then I was at the Secretary of State's office for 2 years and have been the elections administrator and city and county clerk in Broomfield since it became a county in 2001.
I'm Jean Albarico. I'm the Garfield County Clerk and Recorder. I have been in the office for 33 years and have been the clerk since 2007. And have many, many elections, had the pleasure of having watchers in our county. And I think a good percentage of the majority of the time we've had very good relationships. And it's, I think, both ways.
I'm Marilyn Marks. I'm a sort of independent election quality advocate, and I have watched lots of county, state, and municipal elections, special district elections. Got interested in it in 2009 when I first ran for mayor of Aspen, and got interested in sort of the way, weedy detail of elections. And I'm here representing the Colorado Republican Party.
Hi, everyone. I'm Elena Nunez. I'm the executive director of Colorado Common Cause. We're a nonpartisan organization that works for open and accountable government, and a huge part of our portfolio is working on election administration and voting rights. So very interested in the watcher relationship to the voting rights experience and how they intersect. We also run ballot measures and in that context have appointed watchers.
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz Olson. I'm the election department manager for El Paso County. And I've worked in elections for 19 years and been the department manager for 7.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Reynolds. I'm the director of elections for the city and county of Denver. I've been director for 4 years, actually about today. And then I've been with the city and as an election administrator for 10 years this year. Prior to that, I worked in various policy areas and actually overseas in London, England, working on election policy reform while I did my graduate work back as early as 2011 or 2001. And then I also serve on various panels nationally as well as working groups within the state about election type issues.
I'm sorry for being a little late, by the way, fellow panel members. I'm Shane Madsen. I'm a lawyer with Jackson Kelly. I've been involved in litigation on behalf of the Independence Institute, and obviously we're very interested in ballot initiatives.
And for those of you on the phone, we're done in the room. I know we have Lisa on the phone. Lisa, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Lisa Syriax. I'm an affiliated voter. I participated in a lot of different elections as a volunteer judge, watcher, canvas board member since 1998 in Colorado. So I'm a citizen's advocate for the rights of citizens to verify elections. It's not just been general elections, but also special district and municipal elections. I'm also a member of the press, so I've observed as a media observer. I'm from Sawatch County.
Do we have anyone else on the phone, Ben? Oh, not that's a
member. I'm John Buckley.
Oh, John, go ahead.
Hi, I'm John Buckley. I'm an at-large member representing the Arapaho Democratic Party, and actually I'm parking and about to come inside.
Okay, great. for anybody listening and for the rest of our panel, we also have on the panel Martha Tierney and Representative Joanne Winholtz and Senator Jesse Uliberry. Both the representative and the senator, because of the pace of the unable to make it. I imagine that Martha, similarly, there's a bill on presidential primaries that's about to go to committee, so she's probably over there. Which is why I'm distracted, too. It has a large fiscal note. That's why I think we don't have those members present, but I'm sure they'll join us, at our next meetings. And so as you can all see, we have a whole lot of experience, a whole lot of brain power, and a lot of desire to try to solve some of these issues in the room. So. We're very hopeful that we can come to some consensus and sort of see each other's views and hopefully come out with some good regulations, some good suggestions for legislation. Representative Winholtz ran a watcher bill earlier this year, and the Secretary's office and some other people who were there at the legislature felt that these issues were important, but probably needed more discussion because of the passion of everybody involved. And so that's we had initially already had this group in the works, but certainly we had that with that in mind, her legislation. So the idea is to suggest legislation, rules, and best practices around watchers and those activities. So with that in mind, I think you all have a list of general topics that we had come up with that we thought probably covered the general area of issues we've seen with watchers. And so I want to go through those and then just get some input from the panel on maybe things we've missed, things you don't think are relevant, and try to put together our agenda for the upcoming meetings. It's a pretty aggressive schedule, and the reason we did it this way is we are hoping to get some kind of report to the Secretary by the beginning of July for the purposes of rulemaking and best practices for the upcoming election, and then try to work with a sponsor over at the legislature for any statutory changes that we need. So that's why the meetings are pretty lengthy, so that we can actually do some work and try to move this forward. So the first item that we had for discussion was eligibility of watchers, appointments, and the oath. We have in the Secretary's office seen issues with that in every election based on the way the watcher laws are written as to who can watch for who, what is that appointment process. It has changed a little. You know, we see variances each year among how it's easiest to process these watcher forms and that sort of thing. So the process of appointment, the determination of eligibility under the statutes, the communications between the appointing entities and the staff and the election judges. And then our second big topic was accommodation, which we'd like to have some discussion on the number of watchers observing each election activity. You know, as time has gone on, we have tweaked our rules every year to try to address some of these. So, you know, and I think we could probably all agree that part of the problem with the watcher laws is that we have a very different election model than we had when the watcher law was adopted. And, you know, the notion that you can have one appointed watcher, you know, per area or something like that, you know, probably worked when we had 50 polling places, but now we have a large central count. We have VSPCs and centralized systems, and so what does that mean? You know, what can a watcher watch? What should the formula be, watcher to judge? So we'd like to have a discussion on that. Proximity of election activities, this comes up every year. What does witness and verify in the statutes mean? There have been some very different views on that, and we'd like to have some discussion on that. Visual access to process and information computer screens, that comes up now that we are so heavily reliant on signature verification. So access to physical documents. You know, while there may be access, what does that mean? Does that mean immediate? Does that mean tomorrow? Does that mean, you know, what are the rights of watchers to have access to physical documents? Does that mean it's monitored? That kind of thing. Signature verification and challenge. Again, that kind of ties back into accommodation, but the observation of the signature verification process, the challenge process where somebody wants to challenge a signature or a voter, that again is somewhat antiquated in the statute, where a mail ballot challenge results in a referral to the DA, but there's been sort of this gap between how do you challenge the signature without maybe, you know, sending something to the DA to say there's criminal conduct here, and the in-person voter challenge. Post-election activities have also been a issue on both sides, and that's a discussion on the canvas board, the recount process, and election contests. So that's what we identified as a very general overview of where we have seen issues. And I guess I'd like to open it up to the other board members for discussion on other things that, and I think, Ben, do we have these divided the way we have them on here? Is that 1 4-hour meeting each? Yes, okay. So where we have eligibility, appointment, and oath, and then accommodation, signature verification, challenge, and post-election activities, those are each topic are slated for 4-hour meetings every other week until we finish that work. So just so you, all the dates have been invited out or? Yes, okay, all right. So so when we talk about these, just so you can keep the schedule in mind, that was our thought process.
And the order.
That is the order too, isn't it, Ben? Yeah, because we think eligibility is where it starts and post-election is where it ends. So we sort of took them in chronological order. Do we have a microphone?
Do you want me to give them the dates just so that they, yes, they know what the dates are for these specific ones?
And can we, do we have a seat for our other member?
Yeah, John, if we've got a seat for you right over there. Just so you guys know what the, so we've sent out the, at least I think the next three dates on the original email, but just to let you know what those dates are one more time. The first one where we'd be dealing with eligibility, appointment, and oath, we're looking at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 15th. And then for accommodation, same time, May 29th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Then the signature verification and challenge issues will be June 12th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And post-election activities, June 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we realize that, you know, some of these may require more discussion than others. We'd kind of like to keep it to those specific topic areas during each one of those meetings, just because, you know, with a group this large, it's hard to, you know, you can certainly get bogged down in kind of going back and forth if you don't kind of limit the scope of things. But, you know, with that understanding, we know that we may need to, you know, add on a little bit more to the next meeting if we don't get through things, or, you know, schedule meetings into the future if we haven't been able to get through everything. But those are the meeting dates.
So, Suzanne, if you were trying to get legislation passed, you're talking about next session then? Because there's no way you're going to be able to get anything.
Okay. No, it would be next session, but the reality is that you really have to start working on that in the summer to make sure you have somebody who, you know, pulls a bill title and gets a co-sponsor. And so, but mostly we're looking at the speed of it is probably related more to rules and best practices. And then certainly we want to, whatever we come up with, I think it's important that we try it out in the 2015 election, because the last thing you want to do in 2016 in a presidential is ever have anything new that hasn't been tested, because we're just never, as I've found, we're never going to cover every nuance of every type of scenario. And so we're going to have new issues pop up that we hadn't thought of. And then, you know, we may, after the 2015, want to come back as a group and say, you know, and have a meeting where we say what worked and what didn't work and, you know, what changes need to be made ahead of 2016, where we're going to see certainly a lot more activity. So, and at the follow-up meetings, we'll be providing lunch, so get that out of us. And then we're also going to provide mileage and parking for anyone who doesn't have another entity that they bill that to. So if you have issues with mileage or parking, just see one of our staff sources over there, and we'll be able to reimburse you for that expense. So, with that, I don't, you know, maybe we'll just start with eligibility, appointment, and oath. I think I'd like to keep the four topics in general sort of the same: the sort of pre-process and the two while you're there processes, and then the post-process. But maybe within that, we can have some discussion about issues anybody would like to talk about a little bit more, or materials that you would like to get that you think would be helpful to the group to be able to discuss these in depth. So, does anybody?
Yeah. This is Marilyn Marks. Suzanne, As you're thinking about the topics and how you want us to discuss them, are you thinking about also that these proposals would apply to Title 31 and also special district elections as well? I noticed that what you handed us were Secretary of State rules and Uniform Election Code. How are we thinking about Title 31 and special district elections for this panel?
Well, I think that often if somebody's running a city or special district election apart from under their own authority, apart from the Secretary of State, they do look to our rules and our guidelines and often call us to seek, you know, advice on how these things would be handled at the Secretary's office. We were not looking at it in terms of regulating those entities. I think the legislature has pretty clearly separated those out, except in the context of coordinated elections where a lot of municipalities and special district elections are held. We have within the Secretary's office seen, there have been issues related to, you know, how many watchers are going to come from the municipalities and the special districts. What is their role? And then particularly on the canvas this last election, we saw issues related to canvas board members appointed by special districts and municipalities, and what is their role on a canvas. So because many of those elections are coordinated, I think that their voice is important, certainly they're going to need some guidance when they run into these issues in the future. So we're looking at it in those terms, not in terms of a regulatory aspect.
Right. I was thinking maybe, though, in terms of if you were thinking of doing
a I don't change. Think your mic's on.
Is that any better? Is that working?
I don't
no,
know.
It's not green. It's red. More time? Just flashing red.
It's green. It's green.
Now it's green.
Okay. Sorry. I'll start over again. Suzanne, you understand you're talking about coordinated elections and that your rules don't apply to municipalities. But as you're thinking about potential statutory changes in legislation, are you also considering that you want this group to address that or no?
No, I mean, that's a whole different policy discussion. I just want to discuss watchers at the Secretary of State's level in coordinated elections and whatever comes from that at the municipal and special district elections, if they, you know, I think having their representatives is certainly going to go a long way to, you know, them being able to train their people in accordance with, you know, what we've all agreed sort of works statewide. But I was not seeking any kind of thought on whether they would be under these rules or not.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Harvey Branscombe. So are we, at this point, is it suitable to discuss possible things that don't fall into these four or adjustments of those four names in the four, for the four meetings?
You mean things that you think don't fit under the category?
Right, or expansion of the category, let's say.
Sure.
So for one thing, it seems to me that while post-election activities are interesting to discuss, I think there are things that are pre-election activities that are interesting to discuss, which have not by some been considered within the scope of watching. And I guess that brings up one more issue, which is whether we are constrained to discuss things that are only within the existing statute or whether we can discuss potential changes in statute as well. So that's one procedural question I wanted to ask. Then I could go ahead with my suggestion for expanding the.
I mean, I think we're here to discuss changes in statute, which could be additions or deletions.
Right. So in that case, on the fourth category, I think it might be useful to discuss activities that are subject to watching and anything that's particular to those activities that needs to be addressed, to include things that might be considered pre-election day activities or pre, I don't know how to put this, pre whatever, ballot printing, ballot design, those kinds of activities that I consider to be steps in the conduct of an election. And if they're not, then that would be a topic itself to discuss. But
so pre-election activities? printing.
Right. So, or activities that should be subject to watching and may need some particular attention for the reason of the characteristic of the activity.
So, Ben, do you think we could do pre-election with eligibility, appointment, and oath? Because printing has been an issue.
Yeah, I think that we could. One thing that we might kind of look at, and we could maybe report back to the group, is whether it would best fit under that eligibility, appointment, and oath, or if we would want to make that part of accommodation, because I think that we've kind of seen accommodation as the time when we would discuss what is kind of the overall scope of a watcher's access.
Okay. Let's put printing under there, and just to kind of frame the issue for those of you who haven't had issues with printing, some printing is done obviously by vendors, and there have been issues with what is the watcher access to a vendor site for purposes of watching ballot printing and production. So I'll leave it at that. But what else do you have?
Okay. Well, I personally would think it'd be might be more suitable to put it at the fourth meeting, where it feels like the other two are very, have lots of subsets to them that are intense, and
just make it election activities.
I realize there's a temporal aspect to your four meetings, but yeah, make it election activities so that we could discuss all the activities that might have been missed or need to be added. And
well,
not insist on that last meeting having to do with things that happen at the end of the election.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thought is that with the accommodation issue, it's really one of discussing accommodations that are off-site. So that would be, I think it's beyond printing, because it's also healthcare facilities. I mean, we've seen other off-site accommodation issues where, you know, the clerks in the secretary's office don't really have authority over the site, but there are election activities happening somewhere else. So I think it does belong under accommodation, because we need to discuss, I think, more globally those off-site issues. So anyway, keep going.
So on the notes I made on the handout, I put several different notations under accommodation, which I think needs to be expanded to subcategories in there. Is this a suitable time to mention those?
Sure.
So one is that this clearly talks about the proximity and the physical aspect of watching, but it doesn't mention the timing aspect of watching, and that's really turned out to be crucial. And it might be that we would address that timing issue substantially under signature verification, where it's certainly come up as a specific point, but it's applicable to observing adjudication or resolution, as in some systems it's called. And there is real potential now with the new voting systems to actually have technical facilitation for the stretching of time for watching. And it's a really great time to be discussing that right now, and possibly encouraging the voting vendors to produce a process that actually facilitates watching. And I saw something in Denver yesterday, which is a perfect example of this, that Dominion is doing. So that's one topic, is to expand it from physical to timing.
Harvey, does that also include watching the open ballot boxes through the night that are sitting out on the streets? Is that also part of that?
Well, certainly that could be, and there could be a technical facilitation for that. Didn't happen to be on the top of my mind, but yes, I would include that too. And I assume that fits in accommodation. So also, there is a whole, in my, you know, I've listed two pages of topics, and I tried to see whether mine fit into these major categories. And one that I think we should spend some time on is opportunities to facilitate watching, which might include talking about how jurisdictions might provide budgetary facilitation for what's needed for watching or for the provision of documents, and other kinds of technical facilitation, like offline or time-delayed ability to watch adjudication or signature verification. And then you've missed the topic. You've got physical documents here, but electronic documents not mentioned, and I think that's very important. And that's one of the aspects of the more modern election which wasn't anticipated in in either election law or rules, which I think needs to be dealt with. So I'm feeling like there are a lot of topics there that belong in accommodation.
Well, we have a, I suppose, We have a draft that's a lot more detailed under each of these topics of kind of getting into the sort of one-off issues that we've seen here and there. We didn't list every single one of them under here, but certainly I think that when we get into those discussions, for instance, the physical documents, you know, we consider the electronic ones are also contained in there, in that it's really just the production of documents. How do you produce? You know, should we have a computer screen that a watcher can go and sit at that screen and pull up these documents, or do they need to be printed? You know, are there reasons for one or the other? So I think that discussion is going to happen. You know, I don't know if there's other major issues you think are left off.
Harvey Branscombe. So I'm just trying to ascertain whether this list is in any way constraining the conversation, or to the extent it is, how it is. There's one possible fifth topic that I would like to see, which has to do with collecting the information that, or the beneficial information that comes from watching. Because the way I see it, watching is transitioning from a process that primarily was involved in get out the vote, and it's going towards replacing what happened when citizens actually voted in precinct polling places and saw the 90% of the election process themselves. Whereas now they're going to depend on watchers, basically, to substitute for that process. And so there's a need for sharing and aggregation and possible education, training. Though I don't see those fitting in these categories right here. But in terms of aggregation, I'm talking about database or ways of places watchers can actually put what they're finding out in some place that can be shared so it can help election officials that are not in that particular district, for example. Or other watchers, et cetera. So some way, I'm not sure what that consists of at the moment.
And I mean, on that particular point, I think it's a little outside the scope of, you know, trying to figure out how the process works and runs. I guess we can have that discussion maybe toward the end or after we wrap this up of what to do with information as it comes in. I mean, we'd have to think about that internally in our office, because I think that would be the only repository for it, and I'm not sure we want to have an open website like that. So that's really more of an administrative issue within the office. But is there anyone else who has?
Let's see if I can do better this time. Is it working now?
Yeah.
Thanks. It's Marilyn Marks. Suzanne, what about the topic of resolution of controversies? You know, right now, when a watcher has an issue at a local level, they're coming to your office for a resolution, which is probably somewhat inefficient at times if there's a way to resolve it locally. Would that be a topic for consideration of resolution of controversies?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe we can just do that within the challenge section. I mean, I think that's any kind of challenge that you want to make. And so we could discuss, how do we better resolve these issues? Because, you know, I think most of us on the administration side, and it sounds like maybe on the watcher side, agree that the way that we're doing it is probably not very efficient, because, you know, we get the complaint, and often there's 10 of them because we're 2 days ahead of an election, and it's hard to facilitate those discussions during a process like that. So I think that discussion could happen when we talk about challenges.
Okay, thanks.
What other kinds of issues have people seen? Because I think we've heard from the watcher community, and part of this discussion is really the balancing of our ability to administrate elections with the rights of watchers. And so I don't know if we have any, you know, viewpoint from the administrative side beyond my own. great.
Jim Candelari. Thank you, Jim Candelari. A couple of thoughts that I have in regards to Mr. Branscombe. I agree. I think we need to look at that election activity definition and put some context to that. I also believe that we need to fully understand, because the lines tend to get blurred between watcher, observer, and media. Quite often they tend to be interchangeable, and that does cause some problems for administration.
Okay. Yeah, and initially we had thought about the media aspect, but we decided that we probably needed to have a whole other discussion on media access, because with watchers, you know, we've allowed in cell phones and those kinds of devices and said no recording, and media is a little bit different. And it almost requires, I think it requires the Press Association to be in the room, because it first requires a whole discussion of what is media. And, you know, and what makes you a member of media? Is it press credentials? Is it you holding yourself out as a member of the media? You know, typically they've been given pretty broad access in. And, you know, I don't know where the Press Association falls on that particular issue, but we would like to continue that discussion after we have this watcher discussion. And at some point, we, you know, our thought was, you know, we really wanted to address issues related to watchers, election judges, and canvas boards. But we didn't want to do all those three at the same time. So first we're going to do watchers, and then at some point we'll do judges, and then we'll do canvas boards. And, you know, we need to address that media issue too. But we just need to have the right people at the table. So I agree that it's a little bit tricky. And, you know, it'll probably be hard not to get into that discussion, but I think that because we don't have those people in the room, we're probably just going to stick with the watcher issue for this committee. Go ahead, John.
Are you asking for additions to this list or things within this list that we want to focus on?
I'm asking for additions or deletions. If you think something is beyond the scope of what we're talking about, or what you think we should be talking about, that it's, you know, then either additions or deletions as we put together this agenda. And a lot of those are going to be based on all of your personal experiences with election activities.
And are we going to try to come to consensus on uniformity on certain aspects of these then?
That's certainly our hope. Uniformity would be by rule, statute, or best practice. But, I mean, uniformity down to, I would like to see a formula of judges and watchers. You know, this one per activity that we adopted in rule is just not working, because we can't even agree on what an activity is. So we're going to have to put some really concrete things in. And that's what we are looking for. You know, I don't know how to do, I mean, we have tried every year to be more and more specific in our rules about, you know, what's permitted and what's not. But I feel with the efforts that we've made, it's still not uniform in the state, and different people see things differently. And, you know, for instance, we allow for, you know, changes because of the physical layout of a room. And then we have, you know, situations where, you know, we can't have a room, let's say, intentionally laid out in a physical way so that it makes it difficult. So, you know, those kinds of things that we've done, and one of our thoughts that we would, you know, like to discuss with the panel is maybe watcher access should be something that we see in the mail ballot plan, or, you know, submitted to the state, so that if there are exceptions, then maybe everybody can pull that and see what we approved and didn't approve. So that kind of specificity is something that we intend to get into. This is not going to be just a philosophical discussion about, you know, the balancing of watcher rights and administration of elections. We hope to come out with something very concrete about this is the process for appointment, this is who can get appointed, this is what they need to take with them, you know, that kind of level. So we're going to be in the weeds. Amber?
I think
one piece that I would like to see, and this came up in particular in some of the trainings that I observed that were done by outside groups, outside sort of coming into Colorado, training watchers, and they were inaccurate and incorrect on their on the laws and regulations as it relates to Colorado. So I think a discussion about what training is required and whether or not that is something that could be administered through the Secretary of State's office so that all watchers in Colorado get the same information about what sort of the watcher process is. Because I think especially in presidential years and elections, there's a lot of outside groups that come in. The training I observed, they were training watchers that were going to watch in Colorado based on Texas law. And there was many inaccuracies that I helped correct, but I can only imagine how many trainings potentially went on statewide that created those issues. And I think that training component is very important because I know, you know, and maybe there's some sort of certification process or something so that at least the information that's going to all watchers that are involved get is consistent from county to county. And then the other, one other piece that relates to that is I definitely agree that the discussion about what is an election activity is important to talk about so that we can get clarity. And then finally, I think the one other piece, and I know it's come up and it did come up when the county clerks have looked at sort of cleanup items over the years, and one of the issues that came up in the discussion about watchers, canvas boards, judges, all of that, is the formula piece, but then also in, I think, Article 13 lays out some penalties associated with watchers that potentially violate what their duties and roles and responsibilities are. So perhaps that might be, and it might be interlaced, or maybe it's a topic of its own, but it seems like that possibly might be a topic to consider for updating Title I, or at least looking at it and making sure that it still works for our new model.
Okay. You get that, Ben? And we have a training online. So for maybe in advance of the next meeting, because I think that'll be a topic at the next meeting, if you all have time to just, I think Ben sent the link out, or somebody sent the link out to you all, if you have time to look at that training and then maybe make suggestions, and then we can have a discussion about whether that should be part of the, you know, being certified as a watcher before you watch, whether that's something that we want to look at. So I think those are good suggestions.
And one more on that. I know one other item that came up, and it came up during the rulemaking process last year. When we're talking about access to screens and documents and all of that, one of the things, the counties have to sign off on security agreements for the use of SCORE. And, you know, we have to background check the employees that are sort of working in there with access to personal information. And so I think talking about whether or not, you know, what the balance is there when we get to that point is also important. And, you know, if watchers are going to have more, then do they also need to do some sort of, you know, do we have to have them sign some sort of background type thing just like we do for election judges and all the administrators involved? So I think just having that discussion so that everybody's clear would be helpful as well.
Yeah, and I think that's part of next week's where we talk about the oath that'll get into some of it'll bleed into a little bit about accommodation. But yeah, those are definitely discussions we need to.
So Harvey Branscombe. So on that topic, there are other solutions, like technical solutions, to deal with confidential information in a way in which it doesn't have to be accessible to the election judge, inadvertently causing the problem for a watcher, if that turns out to be a problem in terms of access. And so that's why I'd like to see that as a bigger issue than just the oath or the access of the watcher, but how do we actually place the confidential information or encapsulate it technically so that it actually can be easily obscured or doesn't have to appear on the screen at all. So that's broader than just the oath, I guess. Also, I wanted to ask, since it's been brought up, about recording. I think that's a topic we should discuss because there are instances where watching takes place in public meetings, and that turns out to be another, you know, area which turns out to be inconsistent. Doesn't seem appropriate for watchers to be prevented from recording in public meetings and so forth. But perhaps there is a way we can accommodate recording for watchers that will be satisfactory to all the parties concerned. So I'd like to make sure that's included.
All right. Yeah, we'll get that in there.
Suzanne, you mentioned the link to the watcher training video. I think I've missed that. Could you ask that it be sent out again?
Yeah.
Ben. Yeah, I'm not sure. It was earlier today. Steve Ward, the most recent email that you might not have seen because he only sent it just before this meeting, it actually has a link to our specific webpage for this panel. And at the bottom of that webpage is a kind of a list of the resources that we thought would be beneficial so far, and we'll certainly continue to update that. One of the things on that is a link to the watcher training. You'll have to log in. You'll have to create a username and password in order to get into the watcher training, but it's pretty self-explanatory. And Marilyn, if you don't see it, we could definitely make sure we get you another, make sure we send that back out to you. Oh, okay. Well, we'll look into that link, and I think the secretary had that same issue last night, so we'll make sure that that link is working properly.
Thank you, Ben.
Anyone else have, I don't know if the special districts or municipalities have anything additional they want to add about their experiences as essentially partners in the election?
Well, this is Jeff Wilson from the Municipal League. And we're very interested in what comes of this process. In my, like I said, I've been doing this since 87. And for most of those years, the watcher aspect of our elections has not been a particularly big deal or active area. Consequently, it hasn't been updated. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, nothing's broken, nobody's complaining.
That
the area, what's changed here in the last just couple of years, it's gotten very fashionable. But
because I came on?
Yeah, that's
Did
right.
It coincide with my appointment?
Anyway, so we're very interested. You know, most of our municipal electors, the vast majority of them are in home rule jurisdictions, of course, which are beyond the constitutional jurisdiction of either the Secretary of State or the General Assembly. Nonetheless, you know, you talked about best management practices, and we're looking for ways to adopt practices that improve the access of watchers to our elections in home rural cities to the extent the rules are, you know, manageable and reasonable and proportional to the task before them. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We do.
I'll say my introduction to watching was with a home rural city in Aurora during a mayoral election and the Arapahoe County Clerk Baker election. So there are times that municipalities become involved, and I spend a significant amount of time watching over that election. So I think there are times that that becomes an issue because of the IGAs and the relationships. And I think that's something that needs to be ironed out in the IGA, quite frankly. You know, entering into an election is what is the role for certification and canvas? And so hopefully this will inform some of that and make that flow a little bit more smoothly as we move into those coordinated elections.
Jean Alberico from Garfield County. I am really looking forward to these discussions. The majority of the counties in the state of Colorado are not large metro counties. They're very small counties with small staffs. And I think we really need, in all our discussions, to keep in mind their ability to come up with best practices that can be followed and not put undue burdens upon these staffs at the county level, and not have a great expectation that the jurisdictions are going to come up with a lot of money to fund some of the things that you're looking for.
Yeah. And we certainly appreciate your participation on the panel, because that is something we want to be very mindful of. Is, you know, at the Secretary's office, when we adopt rules, what works for a big county does not necessarily work for a small county, and especially in terms of accommodation of people. So thank you for your participation. We will be mindful of that, and if we're not, keep reminding us to be flexible in our in what we're doing here today. You don't have to. Okay.
Harvey Branscombe. So just
in case my sending my document wasn't enough, I wanted to point out a couple of other things that I've mentioned in the area of access to records to make sure that we recognize how far the scope of that topic should go. One is the relationship to CORA. Now, I, as a watcher, have experienced the instance where I've been told that I have to satisfy CORA in order to get information in the course of watching. So I think that actually itself is a substantial topic of conversation. And then there's the instance where an election record that was a printout from a technical device was considered to be an original election record. And that brings up a topic that's complex about what is the aspect, what's the importance of an individual record, and are ones that actually cannot be duplicated, or actually were original, were not one of many copies, should be considered special. And finally, another opportunity for solving a lot of the problems about watching with a technical solution would be for the Secretary of State to arrange for a lot of information to flow from SCORE so that watchers would not have to ask individual supervisor judges about how many of this and that happened on that particular day, because a lot of this information is contained in SCORE and could actually be flowing out to the public, thus resolving or actually eliminating a potential delay and difficulty in getting to the information. So, thanks.
Well, yeah, we can talk about what reports we issue out of SCORE, the reasons we issue some and don't issue others, and the frequency in which we issue those, and see if that will alleviate some of the problems that we have. We're certainly happy to have those discussions, to not have to have the discussions of the counties, but there are reasons that certain reports are issued out of the counties, and there are reasons that certain reports aren't issued until with the frequency that they are. So, but we're happy to include that in perhaps one of the, I think we have something about record access that if we need to flow that into another meeting, we will. Okay.
Yeah, I think we actually had even had on one of our subtopics talking about specific report. We can get our heads around, what are needed reports and how easy it would be for the county to provide those.
So, Ben, what is your plan in terms of releasing an agenda every week? And why don't you just go over what kind of materials and that
Sure.
sort of thing?
So why don't I start with next week's, or excuse me, 2 weeks from now, the meeting on the 15th, which will be about eligibility, appointment, and oath. The first thing that I should point out is your one handout there that's kind of a bifold thing that is a summary of statute and rule. And the way that Melissa has designed this is to show at the top there, obviously, what the activity is, and then the statute or rule, and then the language of that, those provisions. I think it's, just based on the topic of the upcoming meeting, I know most of you are extremely familiar with these laws and rules already, but to make sure that you come prepared by having reviewed, those pertinent ones based on the topic. So that would be the first thing and why we've provided this. And for Lisa and anybody on the phone from our website, you'll be able to access this document. And I think, Lisa, you should have gotten an email with that information in it as well from Steve Ward.
I did.
Good.
I did.
So the next kind of step that the staff will take is to make sure that we put together a much more detailed agenda for you all, and make sure we get that out to you, at least a week before the upcoming meeting, so that you know what we're going to talk about. If we're done with any type of handouts or anything else interactive that we're going to plan to use during the meeting, we'll make sure to get that stuff out to you so that you can review it, and definitely feel free. Everything will be coming from Steve Ward as it has so far, and feel free to give him any feedback. And if we need to update anything before the meetings, we will. For next week, another thing that we've done, because we're talking about appointment and oath and kind of what we see as the nuts and bolts of making sure that the counties are appointing watchers and recognizing watchers, and that they know who those watchers are when the folks come to their voter service and polling centers or to the clerk's offices. We sent out a survey to all of the counties basically asking them how it is that they handle that process right now of appointment. We don't have access to the parties. Sorry about that. We don't have access to the parties and the other appointing entities, so it would be great for those of you who fulfill those roles to be thinking about how it is that you, what processes you currently follow for appointments, so that we can kind of get through that. What we'll kind of be trying to show you all at the next meeting is a bit of a process map to show what we've seen from the counties, things that we've kind of identified as best practices. We'll certainly be relying on the clerks and the members of clerks' offices from this group to give their input on that. But that's kind of the way we see that first meeting going. And then moving forward, it'll just be based on kind of what the topics are as to what kind of materials we're going to get out to you before. But we'll try to get those out with plenty of time for you to review them before the meeting.
Ellen Hilliard, Boulder County. Would it be helpful for you or Suzanne to have us send you topics or incidences of things that we're going to bring up to make sure they fall into your grouping so we don't waste our time on something that's unrelated to the topic?
Absolutely, yeah, that would be great. I would just ask that you send those to Steve Ward, and then Steve can make sure that he gets that, all of that information up on the web page so that everybody can make sure that they review it before the next meeting.
Yeah. Go ahead. Harvey Branscombe, I was curious whether this format will include public comment for the meetings or not.
Go ahead.
So we have a I'm sorry, this thing's not quite working well. We have a very large group. One of the reasons this group is so large is because we did want to make sure that we were pulling in folks from all of the areas of interest in this topic. And for that reason, and because of the time constraints that we're going to face when we start getting into actually the weeds, as Suzanne put it, our thoughts on that was that because we have such a wide-ranging group of folks with their opinions, that we were not going to do public comment for these meetings.
Harvey Branscombe, in that case, is it possible to elicit public comment by written documents that could be sent to the website?
Yeah. What we'll do is we'll make sure that for the next agenda that we send out for public notice, that we include information on how folks can submit their public comments, and then we can put those public comments up on the website.
That work for everyone? Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else? Any other housekeeping issues or anything anybody wants to discuss about how we're going to move forward?
No? Hey, Suzanne, this is Lisa. I don't know exactly where this fits. It's kind of a bigger topic. But as an unaffiliated voter, and it's kind of a growing demographic, you know, part of the problem has been, you know, the rules. Well, they have some provisions for unaffiliated voters to participate as judges and watchers. It's not specifically clear. And, it, you know, what I have noticed is over the past few years with the changes in how elections are administered, moving away from the polling place, moving to voting centers and mail ballots, it seems like the fact that those roles of election judges have shifted has also created some problems in some of the counties that I've worked with, where parties before weren't as concerned about having watchers because the judges had a certain role because they were more hands-on than, say, the clerk's administrative staff. You know, and part of it, again, is probably a difference between small counties and large counties and who's, you know, practically there to pick up the mail ballots and open them and do the signature verification. And it, there may not always be election judges. It may end up being staff from the clerk's office. But what I found is that unaffiliated voters sometimes just have difficulties because it's not clearly defined how they can access the system. And clerks maybe are not familiar with how to do that.
Well, and to the issue of how that affects watchers, I think we could have that discussion in terms of appointment. That's really where it probably starts right. And ends. With regard to judges, I agree that that's an important issue we need to discuss, but it's not going to be in the scope of this discussion. That's one we would have to do when we talk specifically about the role of an election judge in that appointment process and how that is laid out in statute, but I don't think we're going to be prepared to discuss that in the context of this committee. But certainly with regard to watchers, I think there's been some conflict in the way people interpret that statute. I'm sure the parties have a say on, you know, who should be watching for them and the candidates. So certainly we'll have that discussion when we talk about appointment next week.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I've seen happen is if you have a candidate who might be affiliated with one of the parties, but there's some difference, like especially with the primary, if there's the party is really favoring one over the other, I realize technically they're not supposed to do that, but in small towns they do have a preference. They might interfere with that, you know, one particular candidate. So maybe, you know, removing, I mean, again, it's an interpretation. The clerk might say, well, if the party chair doesn't say this person can be there, then they're not going to be there. And if a party candidate's having a difference with their party chair about who they want to be watching.
Yeah, and I think we'll lay out for you next week, you know, our interpretation of those statutes as they relate specifically to the candidate and the party relationship. I think we've typically interpreted that as, you know, if you're affiliated with the party, it's the party that decides. And I don't know what the party's opinion is on that, I guess.
Right. It'll be interesting to find out.
But, yeah, we can talk about the way we've interpreted that and maybe some different interpretations we've seen throughout the years from both sides and see if we want to recommend a statutory change to that or if we have consensus on that. So that will be discussed next week.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Ben, you have something?
Just two more very minor housekeeping issues. For the next few meetings, we are going to be providing lunch. So if anybody has any dietary restrictions, please let Steve Ward know before the next lunch if you're going to be making it this way. And the other piece is that we do have access to Wi-Fi for you all if you need it, but we need IT to come down and basically provide passwords and usernames. So we'll make sure that they're here next time at the beginning of the meeting and make sure that we get you all set up.
Okay. All right. If nobody has any other, yeah, Harvey.
Harvey Branscombe. My one last thing. I just wanted to say I'm very pleased to be on this panel, and I feel like this has been set up for a very serious reason. And I'm glad to see a lot of staff from Secretary of State's office here, because that suggests to me that this is going to be productive. And I know one problem is going to be the amount of time we have to actually reflect upon the actual instances that give rise to the needs for the changes. And I have accumulated a lot of such instances, and I'm attempting to provide those on paper as opposed to trying to describe them in person every time. And that's why I am producing documents to send to the committee. So I've got three pages, I think it is, or two or three pages of single line instances from watching, some of which are I consider to be highly, you know, beneficial things I discovered that should be shared, and other things are things that probably shouldn't have happened. But in any case, I'm trying to get those out so that is my reflection of where the problems are. I'm not trying to say that we have to change this and this, but I've written what has happened, what I've seen happen, and with the hope that this generates a very productive result from this panel. And so I just want to put in my major push for that happening and how I want to participate with it with a minimum amount of time wasting. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. With that, we are adjourned.
Harvey, I'm going to give you my email. I would love to get a copy of that.
I hope you did get a copy because...